Hello, everybody. This is Eric Stafford, and I'd like to welcome you to tonight's free training call. Tonight's call, Newbie Pitfalls. I'm going to be going over several of the common mistakes, frustrations, and questions that I tend to get from beginners as they're starting their e-business, and I'm going to provide you with solutions to those questions along with a whole ton of valuable resources, and then at the end of the call, I'm going to take some questions from you if you have any. Before we get started, just a couple of quick housekeeping notes, the first of which is there is a workbook that goes along with the material I'm presenting tonight. You can get that from the webcast interface page, or you should see a link directly under the replay for this teleseminar or the replay for this audio, big link that says get the workbook now. You can click and download that PDF. You can print it. It's stacked with valuable resources and pretty much a guideline of what I'm going to be covering on the call tonight, okay? The second thing I wanted to mention is that this is one of three teleseminars that I'm going to be holding this week. All of them are free. The first one tonight, Newbie Pitfalls. The second one tomorrow night, going to be a terrific teleseminar called Building the Offline Foundation to Your Online Business. Tomorrow night I'm going to be talking about LLCs and S-Corps and mail forwarders and phone forwarders and how to get an FEIN number, how to protect your personal contact information on the web, and kind of set up the small offline structure that you need to set up to support a successful online business. So that's going to be a fantastic call. And then on Thursday night, the third teleseminar in the series, The Math of Marketing. I'm going to be talking about tracking your traffic and talking about split testing, other terrific methods to really see where you're at. That was brutal. Okay. I'm not sure exactly what happened there, but can you guys hear me okay? If someone would take 1 minute and post in the Q&A box on your webcast interface replay, let me know if you can hear me okay. Can you guys hear me okay? Guys, there we go. Just to say hello, I've got one there. All static. Yeah, I think we got the static fixed, Sylvian. Can you guys hear me? If you just take 1 minute and post something in the webcast interface, let me know if you can hear me. Okay, great. Perfect. Now I'm seeing some yeses. Wow, not sure exactly what happened there, but that certainly was rotten. Okay, so I'm using a new teleseminar service, and it's not working all that great. Okay, cool. So I've got the phone lines muted. Let's try this again. Okay, everybody, so tonight's call, Newbie Pitfalls. And on the call tonight, I'm going to share with you several questions, comments, feedback I get from various people that I work with about the big ticket items that tend to hold them back from starting their own successful e-business. Okay, I am going to take questions at the end of this call, as long as the phone line doesn't freak out like it just did a minute ago here. But I will be taking questions at the end of the call, so I would ask that you hold your questions until then, and I'll be opening up the phone lines. Or, if you'd like, type your questions in during the call into the webcast interface box that should be on the webcast page, Q&A box on the webcast page. Okay? So with that said, let's get right to it. Make sure, and one last thing, I don't know if I got staticked out when I said this, but please download the workbook that I put together for this call. It's going to take you step by step through what I'm covering tonight. You should have a link to it available on the webcast page. I believe it says get your workbook now. Okay, guys, cool. So newbie pitfalls. What exactly is it that holds people back when they're trying to build the first successful internet business? Well, I know for me, what held me back, one of the main things that held me back was time. I just could never seem to get enough time to work on my internet business. I had a full-time job. I had two little kids. I had, a fairly demanding wife who I love very much, but nevertheless, she's a fairly demanding wife. And life, guys, just kind of tends to get in the way. And one of the problems that I was having is I would sit down, in the evening after work, after dinner, after the kids had gone to bed, or I would sit down over the weekend to work on my e-business. And I would find that the first thing that I would do is check my email. And, I've heard lots and lots of people now that I've worked with have said the same thing. You know, you check your email, and obviously you're on 10, 15, 20, 50 different marketers' newsletter lists and have a ton of email. And you start looking through those emails, and you click a link, and it takes you to a page, and, wow, it's a pretty interesting product or tool or tactic or offer, or it's a free report. And you opt in and get that report, and then you spend maybe half an hour looking through that, and then you're getting emails from that fella too. And your time just kind of evaporates. I found that I was spending almost all of my time basically browsing the web, right? And, I learned a lot from it, but it's certainly not a way to be productive, right? So the first thing that I tell people when they say to me, you know, I'm just not seeming to get anywhere. I'm just not seeming to get anything done. The first thing I always tell people is you need to stop checking your email. You need to stop checking your email. And at this point now, I'm 3 years into running my own e-business. I've hired a team of people that checks my email, manages my email, moves important emails from business partners and emails from my customers and subscribers into spots where I'll see them, deletes all my spam, takes all my joint venture requests and looks things over, puts appointments into my calendar. But, guys, when I was starting out, I didn't have that. I was getting just hammered with email. So what did I do about it? Well, one of the things you can do about it, and this is what I would recommend that you do, I recommend that you create a new Gmail account, okay? Gmail is Google Mail. It's totally free, all right? It's totally free. You can go to www.gmail.com, and you can create, spoke with a fellow before the call started tonight named Kent. You could create Kent's ebiz research at gmail.com or Kent's ebiz at gmail.com. Create that account, and then what you want to do is you want to go through and unsubscribe from every single list you are subscribed to, and then go back and resubscribe with that Gmail account, okay? Because here's the deal, guys. Being on a bunch of different marketers' lists, really, really valuable information. You can kind of keep your finger on the pulse of what's happening in internet marketing, what tactics and information is really working well and what's hot. But if you let it consume you and you kind of chase the offer trail, you're going to wind up running out of time and running out of money, okay? So you want to stay on those lists, but you want to set up a mechanism so that you're only checking those emails maybe once a week.
No.
Right?
No.
And so that's what I did. I set up a Gmail account, and I put all of my marketing list research, all of my subscriptions over to that Gmail account so that I could check it once a week. Okay? And when you do that, if you find that you're still getting way too many distracting emails to your main account, then I would tell you that you should consider closing that as well and starting fresh, right? Because email, guys, email is an absolute killer, okay? And you know what? I'm still getting a little bit of feedback on the line. If you bear with me one sec. Guys, I'm asked if you're on the call to please mute your line. Let me see what I can do here about this. Having just a little bit of difficulty with my There we go. Right, that should be a little bit better. I've got you guys muted, and this new service I'm using allows me to see who is on the line. So David in Frankfort, Kentucky, I'd like to say hello. Rose, hello. William, Lois, thanks so much to all of you for coming on the line. Okay, so there's a whole bunch of you. I can't read the whole list, but I do want to tell you I appreciate your time. So guys, that's the first thing I would do. Is I would create a secondary email account that you use just for your e-businesses and just for research. You check it once a week. That'll allow you, when you sit down, just to focus on work. Just to focus on work. Okay. Here's another thing that I found really helpful when I first got started that I'd like to share with you, and that is if I was going down the path towards building a website, for example, or if I was going down the path towards building a blog, I would find that if I came to a piece that I was struggling with technically, if I came to a piece that was a little too hard for me to figure out, or if I came to a step that I just didn't want to do, it would really derail me. It's really easy when you don't have a lot of time to work on your business, you're working on it in the evenings and on the weekends, it's really easy to get derailed and say, you know what, I'm just going to watch True Blood tonight. I'm just going to hang out tonight and take my kids and hang with them or whatever it might be. And so what I found, guys, that helped me a lot is I would work on two. I would make sure I always had 2 to 3 separate pieces of a project that I could work on. So, for example, if your goal is to build a blog and you're struggling and you come to kind of a roadblock in your process of adding your plugins and installing your plugins and getting your blog up to speed, make some posts. Write some blog posts, even if they're just in a Word document for now. But rather than spending 4 hours of valuable working time beating your head against the wall trying to get a plugin installed, if you're really struggling hard with it, leave it for a day or two and come back at it fresh and work on a different aspect of your project. So you always want to have 2 or 3 different prongs of a project that you can kind of move forward on so that if one piece in particular is really, really bothering you or you're really struggling with it, you can just move to a different piece and attack it that way. All right? So again, guys, if you join me late, it's Eric Stafford here. Tonight's training, the Newbie Pitfalls Teleseminar. And I tell you what, we're having a little bit of newbie pitfalls myself with this new bridge line that I'm using to record this call for you. So I apologize for the static, for the hiccups, burps, beeps, and delays, but we're working through it. Okay? So the next thing that I want to tell you, okay, so step one, newbie pitfalls, step one, set up a Gmail account and stop checking your email so often. All right? Get off all the lists that you're on. Get rid of all the subscriptions you're on. Take all those marketing messages and all those work-from-home messages, put them all in one spot, and check them once a week. And, yes, folks, that even includes my emails. That even includes my emails, all right? You might miss a teleseminar. You might miss something important once in a while. Maybe you've got 2 or 3 people that you're working with, you know, that you really trust and have an affinity for, or you've invested in their product, and that's really important to you that you receive their emails, that's fine. But take everything else, and that may include my emails, and put them into an account that you're only checking once a week so that you're not constantly opening your email account and seeing 40 new emails there. All right? So that's step one, is to kind of distance yourself from emails and from that buying circle. Step two. And guys, this is the most important step. You have to understand research. You have to understand research, okay? Research is the absolute cornerstone of any successful e-business, right? If you're working on something right now that's an amazing tool or tactic or new technology or service, and if you don't have any idea what you're building or who your audience is, then you need to start over. You should never build a business. You should never build a business on a tool or a tactic. Because, guys, I tell you what, look what happened to MySpace. MySpace is a perfect example. MySpace was the biggest thing on the Internet 3 years ago. And now no one talks about it, and everyone's on Facebook. Okay? So if you build a business wrapped around MySpace, which is a service, you'd be hurting right now. You don't want to build your business wrapped around a tool or a tactic. All right? So yes, it's great to learn that stuff, but the very first thing you need to be able to answer for people, what are you building and who is it for? Okay, if you can't answer that question, then you got to start over at square one. All right? And I work with so many people, guys, that can't answer that question, and yet they've spent thousands and thousands of dollars on coaching, on membership sites, on learning how pay-per-click works, on learning about video marketing, learning about how to build e-books, buying PLR products where they can take these pre-made products and throw them on the internet, and then struggling with trying to get traffic to them. Guys, none of that stuff is going to work unless you understand who your audience is and what you're building for them. Okay, I can't stress that enough. So I want to show you how to do keyword research. And obviously there's a lot to it. I'm still learning a lot about it every year. But I'm going to share with you a very quick and easy way to do market research on the internet. Okay, anyone can understand this formula that I'm about to explain to you. And what this formula is you need to find a massive number of people searching for a product or service, and you want to find the least amount of competing results in Google. So you want a ton of people searching and as little competition as possible. That's the magic formula. Whether you're talking about diabetes, whether you're talking about organic diets, whether you're talking about yoga, lower back pain, making money from home, whatever it may be, you want a ton of people searching, very little competition in the search engines. That's the magic equation here, guys. And if you give me a sec, I'm gonna try and mute this line here. I can hear someone doesn't have their phone muted. There we go. Okay, cool. So internet marketing research. Here's how it works, guys. Here's the quick, down and dirty, easy way to do some market research, all right? Step one, you need to write out a list of keywords that are related to the niche or industry that you want to work in. Here's an example. Maybe in the real world, the quote-unquote real world, you're a yoga instructor. And so you decide you want to build an e-business about yoga, okay? So your keywords might be beginner's yoga, yoga for beginners, therapeutic yoga, low-impact yoga, yoga for back pain. You want to write them all down in a list, okay? That's step one. And step two is you want to use the free keyword tracker tool to see how many people are searching for each of those different sets of keywords. All right? I'm going to give you that link. Again, guys, I'm having trouble with my teleseminar service tonight. I would ask that you please mute your lines. Oh, I think I fixed it. Beautiful. All right, cool. Here we go. So step one, compile a list of keywords. As many as you can think of, okay? If you are in real estate or used to be in real estate and you're looking for some different options, maybe you're thinking, hey, I could do something like, an e-business about aimed at first-time home buyers. So your keywords might look like first-time homeowners, tips for first-time homeowners, first-time homeowner taxes, closing cost information, right? I mean, whatever the keywords would be, whatever people ask you, write them all down. The second step, take that big old list and go to the free keyword tracker tool, okay? The link to that is freekeywords.wordtracker.com, freekeywords.wordtracker.com. Go ahead and start running your keywords one at a time. Basically, take the first keyword, plug it in, and hit me. There's a little button there that says hit me, and write down the results. Okay? The results that come up, the free keyword tracker tool will give you a rough estimate of how many people are searching for those keywords. So obviously, guys, you want that number to be high. You want a lot of people searching for your keywords, right? And here's the cool thing. The Keyword Tracker tool will also provide alternate suggestions. So write down those as well if they've got a high number of people searching for them. Okay, so you might type in therapeutic yoga, and the free Keyword Tracker tool might come back with a suggestion underneath it of low-impact yoga for seniors that has 100 people a day searching for it. And you never had it on your keyword list, but if you see that, you're going to add it, right? So again, guys, cross out the keywords that no one's looking for and write down any suggestions that the Keyword Tracker tool makes to you that have a high number of people looking for them. The goal is to find keywords that have the most possible people searching for them. All right. And again, guys, that link, freekeywords.wordtracker.com, freekeywords.wordtracker.com. Okay. So that's the first step of the equation, is to write out a big old list of keywords, take it to the free keyword site, and start to slim down that list by crossing out keywords that no one's searching for, and maybe adding some of the suggestions there that the Keyword Tracker tool makes to you. Okay, that's the first step. You're looking for people that are searching for these keywords. So now the second step. Actually, it's the third step, because the first step is to write down that list. Second step, to take it to the free Keyword Tracker tool. The third step is to go to Google and type in the remaining keywords. Okay? So one at a time, you would open up a window, you would go to Google search engine, you would type in your remaining keywords. So maybe you would type low-impact yoga for seniors, and you would click go. And now this is very important, guys. On the results page, on the Google results page, in the upper right-hand corner of the results page, Google will tell you how many competing results Google has found for that term. All right, let me say that again because it's hugely important. If you type anything into the Google search engine, on the results page that you get taken to, in the upper right-hand corner, it's going to say something like results 1 to 10 of 680,000, or 1 to 10 of 2,012,000, or whatever, right? So here's where the second part of that equation comes in. The smaller that number is, the better. All right, the smaller that number is, the better, because that's the amount of times Google has found those keywords on web pages. So if you can find that magic combination of maybe a set of like five different keywords that all have a ton of people searching for them and all have a very small amount of competing results in Google, guys, that's the magic combination, okay? And doing it is so easy. Like I said, it's like basically a three-step process. You want a ton of people searching, and you want not a lot of people competing for those searchers, right? For those prospects or browsers, internet users. Okay, and I'll give you some examples of this. You know, there it's not really a scientific equation. There's no real cap on the numbers. But generally, if you can find in the Keyword Tracker tool over 50, over 100, over 200, over 500 searches for a set of keywords, great. And in Google, pretty much anything under 500,000, under a million results, you can do that. You can compete there. Okay. But I tell you what, there's some keywords that are just going to be out of reach for you. There's some industries that are just going to be out of reach for you. Like work from home, you plug that into Google, there's like 380 million results, okay? So I would be taking keywords like that and crossing them off, because that's just too much competition for you to make an impact, in my opinion, okay? So that's the main equation, highest number of people searching, least amount of competition in Google. And I'll tell you a keyword that I just kind of searched up, and I'm about to give someone on this call a $1 million a year idea, if it's done right. All right, certainly a $100,000 a year business right out of the gate. Chinese drywall. Okay. I live in South Florida. Everyone in South Florida is talking about Chinese drywall. 3 years ago or so, when the housing boom kind of went crazy, there wasn't enough drywall. And so some unscrupulous folks started bringing in drywall from China, and it turns out that this drywall rots your appliances, it oxidizes all your metal pipes, and it can be harmful to your health if you breathe in the air. It's called Chinese drywall. And about, you know, the last year or so, I've been hearing people talking about it down here, and it's getting more and more and more and more people talking about it that I'm overhearing these conversations. And then I see that it's popped up in Texas and in Nevada and in California. Chinese drywall's kind of popped up everywhere. So I took the words Chinese drywall and I performed this test on it. And if you do the same thing, if you take the words Chinese drywall, plug them into the free keyword tracker tool, you're going to see that a lot of people are looking for information about Chinese drywall right now. If you take those same keywords and take them over to Google and plug them into Google, you're going to see that there's under 500,000 results in Google. That guys, is a winning combination. Okay, that's a winning combination. So Chinese drywall, an awesome niche market. Get into it before I have time to. Okay? So that's really how the equation works, and I hope that example helps you. And I would encourage you to take those keywords and do that test on them, and you'll see what I mean. And then if you take the keywords work from home, you'll also see why that won't work for you. Okay? So that's research, and that's how you do it. And, guys, you should be doing that. You should perfect that process. I use a browser, a web browser called Firefox, which allows me to have multiple windows open at the same time, like little tabbed windows. So I'll open up the keyword tracker tool in one window. I'll open up Google in another window. And I'll just tab back and forth, looking at my results, typing in different combinations, fiddling around, taking those results over to Google, seeing how many people are competing, until I can come up with enough sets of keywords that I know I'm working in a profitable market. And I hope this is making sense. And again, fellas, for those of you that have joined me late, tonight's call, Newbie Pitfalls. Okay, Eric Stafford here, and I'm covering several ways that you can minimize the risk, keep moving, lower your frustrations, and get your e-business online in rapid fashion. Okay, so one more thing I want to talk about when it comes to keyword research. One more thing I want to cover. When you plug your keywords that you think are winners into Google, when you plug your keywords that you think are winners into Google, you want to look for what I like to call the backwards seven. The backwards seven. And guys, basically what that is you'll see the first two listings at the top of the page, or maybe three, will be sponsored listings. They'll have a different color background across the top of the page and then down the right-hand side of the page. And that's why I call it the backwards seven, because if you go across the top of the page and down the right-hand side of the page, it looks like a backwards seven. But you want to see that. Let me repeat that. You want to see sponsored links on the top and down the right-hand side of those search engine results pages. All right? If you go to Google right now, as we're having this conversation, as we're in the middle of this training, and you type in Chinese drywall, you will see sponsored ads on the top and down the right-hand side of the page. And why is that important? Here's why it's important. It tells me that people are either really, really stupid and want to just throw their money away into the wind, or they're making money by paying to have their sponsored ads listed on those pages. And I'm guessing more than likely than not, it's the second option. What that means is that that is a market that's viable enough that people are already spending money to advertise in it. And that's a good sign. That's a really good sign. So if you go through this process of research, folks, and if you run down a bunch of keywords, you take them to freekeywords.wordtracker.com, and you plug them in, you make sure a bunch of people are searching for those keywords, And then you take your winners from that process and take them over to Google, and you see that not a whole ton of people are competing for those keywords yet, then you're going to be in great shape, especially if that page has got a backward seven of people already spending money to advertise on those pages. Tells me that people are already making money in that market. All right. And I'll give you another great example. You go to Google and type in Florida foreclosure right now, no longer a viable niche market. But 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, there was almost no results in Google for Florida foreclosure. Okay? Same thing with swine flu. Swine flu is right on the edge of becoming unprofitable, in my opinion. But 6 months ago, if you went to Google and typed in swine flu, very little competing results in Google. So, guys, you want to watch trends, and you want to think about where you can sneak in and provide some excellent information, okay? And I'm going to talk more about this here in this third pitfall that I want to discuss with you. But you want to find little markets. You want to be aware of trends, okay? Watch the news. Watch infomercials. Keep your ear to the street and kind of listen to what people are talking about. Find trends that people are talking about, and then run these keywords. Do this research. And what's going to happen is you're going to find a market where you can kind of slip in under the radar, get in early, create a basic website, and throw a little opt-in page up there or a blog with a little opt-in form on it, give away some awesome information, answer some questions for people and help them out, start to build a massive list that you can then earn money from. All right. So, folks, I'm going to take your questions at the end of the call. If you'd like to go ahead and enter them in the webcast interface, feel free to do that, or I will be able to unmute lines at the end of the call and answer your questions there. I'm just checking the webcast now. Brian Davis in St. Louis says, how do you find something to sell that's hot enough so that you can make some money with it, even if you don't get everything perfect? Brian, my friend, I just told you. That's a great question, okay? My friend Jay Rossi in Wollongong, Australia, says, I have my site and my blog set up. Why is it so difficult to find traffic and build a list? Jay, send me links to that stuff. I'd love to get a look at it, okay? Michael is there for Carrie, my friend in Toronto. Michael, thank you so much for coming on the call and giving me an update on how Carrie's doing. I'm pleased to hear that things are going good. Brian says, social media seems to be a very labor-intensive way to drive traffic. You know what, Brian? That's a good comment, and you want to know some suggestions on how to get around that. I can't really make any on this call because that's not really the focus of my call. So I can't really make any suggestions on this call, but I will be doing a traffic call here shortly. Okay, so I just wanted to mention that. Let's see here. Sorry, guys, I'm just approving some stuff. Volanda's on the call. Hey, Volanda. Is this being recorded? My Firefox keeps crashing, and I have to get back on. Curtis, this is absolutely being recorded. No problem. Roberta, my friend in Nebraska, says you can get a free keyword management tool here. It's called goodkeywords.com. Goodkeywords.com. That's fantastic, Roberta. Thank you for sharing. Roberta is doing some great stuff with her e-business. Sue in New Jersey says, I know your workbook just says to concentrate on building a squeeze page and a list and not worry about product development, but if you have nothing to sell the list, how do you keep them engaged and also teach them to buy from you? When should you get going on product creation? What's the best way to know that your target market is actually buying? Sue, those are awesome, awesome questions. And I'm going to get to them here in this third thing that I wanted to share with you tonight. I would ask you to continue to submit your questions through the webcast interface. And at the end of the call, I'm also going to be able to unmute lines individually for any of you folks that have any questions that are on the phone line. Okay? So the third thing that I wanted to discuss with you folks tonight, the third newbie pitfall. Here it is, guys. Cross out the big ticket items. Cross out the big ticket items. What do I mean by that? Here's what I mean by that. for now, and Sue, this kind of touches on your question. Right? For now, I want you to forget all about products, upsells, coaching programs, learning how to do Twitter, learning how to do video marketing, forum marketing, learning how to do pay-per-click, membership sites. Guys, you know, there's probably a list of 200 things that you're feeling like you need to master and get under your belt, okay? And you know what? There is. And you know what? I've been doing this for 3 years full-time, and I've still got about 190 of them to master, okay? It's a constant learning process. And if you find yourself getting caught up in all the things that you don't know, you're not going to implement the things that you do know. And I'm going to repeat that because if there's one thing you take away from this call tonight, I want it to be that. If you spend all of your time worrying about mastering the things that you don't know, you're never going to implement the things that you do know. And here's what you do know. You should know that research needs to be step one. Okay? If anything, I've really hammered on that point tonight during this call. You need to start with research. Research needs to be step one. The second thing that you know is that you need to build a basic website. You need to get a basic website online with an opt-in form or a squeeze page so that you can start to build a list. So that you can start to build a list. And it can be the most basic, ugly page in the world for now. Just get it online, all right? Because once the page is online, then you can really start to rapidly test and tweak and see if this is a viable model for you. Okay, you can fiddle with a little pay-per-click if you want. You can fiddle with a little blogging or a little forum marketing or some Twitter. You can hand out flyers. You can get on Craigslist. You can start driving traffic any hundred of number of different ways. You can send out postcards to a direct mail list. You can take out a classified ad in a related magazine or e-zine. You know, you can do all kinds of different stuff. The first thing you need to do is you need to have some place to send folks to. You have to have a website, and you have to have an opt-in form so that you can build a list. Okay, and get people into an autoresponder follow-up sequence. I have a couple friends, guys, that built autoresponders and now have over a year's worth of emails plugged into those autoresponder follow-up sequences. What that means is that they could take the next year off, and you could go at any time during that year, and you can opt in to join their email newsletter list. You could go to their website and join up, and they've got a year's worth of emails waiting there to go out automatically. Automatically. All right? That's where you're truly starting to put some leverage into your business. Okay? It is absolutely the first step. So I want you to clear the decks, and if you haven't done any research, you need to do it. And if you haven't built your first website, you need to get rid of these big ticket items. You need to forget about learning how membership sites work and how upsells work. You need to forget about affiliate programs. You need to forget about all this stuff and just get your first basic website up and running. Okay, and Sue, to answer your question, what are you going to sell these people? You know, if you start to get opt-ins, if you start to get leads joining your list and you start to build a list, you can find affiliate programs out there on the internet for everything under the sun, and you can sell them other people's products. You can sell them other people's products through an affiliate link, and they are responsible for delivering those products. They're responsible for customer support. They're responsible for dealing with refunds if it breaks, and they just pay you for sending the leads over. Affiliate marketing is a beautiful thing. So you set up a business model like that, you've got an opt-in page, you're building a list, you queue up maybe 5 to 10 affiliate emails promoting different things and maybe another 5 to 10 emails that are just kind of feel-good emails where you're sharing some great information, you're letting people get to know a little bit about you and why this subject or topic is important to you. And then you get out there and send some leads to it and see how they react. And if you start making some affiliate commissions, that's a really good sign that, hey, maybe this is a viable e-business and maybe I should create a product. But for God's sakes, don't go out and start worrying about spending 2 months building the perfect e-book right now if you don't have any proof that people in that audience are going to buy it, right? So, guys, those are the three big-ticket items I wanted to talk to you about tonight. One of them, information overload, how to manage your email so that you're not constantly swamped with email. The second thing, understanding research, how to use free keyword tools, how to use Google to do some base, low-level market research. And then the third thing, get back to the basics, guys. Forget all the big-ticket stuff. Just get a basic website up and running for now. It's an amazing first step. It's an amazing first step. Okay? So that's about what I wanted to cover on tonight's call. And I'd like to spend the rest of the time that we have together answering questions. So, guys, here's how the question and answer works. You're welcome to ask your questions through the webcast interface. Go ahead and just type them in, and I'll get them through the webcast interface. Your other option is you can raise your hand. Guys, you can press *2 on the call to raise your hand. And if you're on the phone line and you raise your hand, it should show up for me here, and I should be able to unmute just your line so that you can ask me some questions. So, guys, I would ask *2 if you're on the call. Or go ahead and ask your questions via the webcast interface, okay? So John in Davy says, Eric, please tell me how to get people to subscribe. I have a website blog. Would a squeeze page be better? You know what, John? I'd have to take a look at it to tell you what I think is really going on with it. But one thing I would say is if you're not testing and tracking your traffic, you don't really know what your problem is, John. You don't know if your problem is that you're not getting any traffic or if your problem is that your traffic that you are getting is not converting. So you need to make sure you're using, like, Google Analytics to track your traffic, okay, and that you're also doing some split testing. And, John, we're going to talk about that on the third call of this series, which is Thursday, okay? We're going to talk about that on Thursday, is how to test and track. Let me just look here, make sure there's no hands raised. Are there any hands raised here? Okay, great. No questions on the phone line. So back to the other window here. It says, Kent in Lancaster, California says, hey, Eric, we spoke before the call. Can you use a blog to build a list, or is it not effective? You know what, Kent? A blog, you absolutely should have an opt-in form on your blog, okay? But you should also have a separate website. That's just a squeeze page, okay? There's no other options or links. That's one of the problems with a blog is that there's so many different options and links. You can click here to read some pages. There's an About Us page, or there's a calendar, or maybe there's a list of recent comments or a blog roll. There's so many different buttons to push and different links to follow that blogs don't tend to convert in terms of building a list as well as a squeeze page would, because on a squeeze page, there's really only one thing to do. And that's join the list, right? So I would recommend that you have both. That's a really good question. Okay. Let's see here. Anyone have their hand raised? Again, guys, you want to raise your hand, ask me any questions. *2 is how you're going to do that. *2 is how you're going to do that. Lois in Norfolk, Virginia says, are you talking about searching a search of over 200 for a major term total at the top or the listing of the longer tail numbers down the side? I'm considering targeting individuals who are taking care of their elderly parents, but I'm not sure of better keywords. Only about half self-identify as caregivers. You know, that's very interesting, Lois. I don't have any keywords that are springing to mind off the top of my head, but what I would tell you is, it seems to me like an awesome niche market. And what I would do is I would go to your local bookstore, your Barnes & Noble, or your Borders, and I would ask for books on that subject, and I would look through those books look at the chapter titles, look at the titles of the books, read the back covers, and maybe that'll help you with your list of keywords. And hopefully that helps. Okay. Any hand raising going on here? Want to make sure that this works. Someone do a star two for me here on the phone line so I can see if this works. Don't be bashful. All right, I'm not seeing a star two on the phone line. Let me see if I can refresh it. Maybe that'll help. Oh, there's one. Nope, that's me. Great. All right. Oh, wait, there's some hands. Lovely. That's Lois Reed. Rose, cool. I've got some hands here. I'm gonna take you one at a time. Let me see how I do this. Let me try John in Madison. John, you should be unmuted. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Do you hear me?
I hear you great. Thanks so much for participating and raising your hand so I can figure out how this newfangled teleseminar thing works.
Okay, nice chatting with you. I do not have really a question. I'm following carefully, and I just wanted to see if your system was working.
Well, thanks so much, man. I appreciate it, and it's working fine, and I appreciate you taking time to come on the call.
You're welcome.
Okay, so I've got another one here, Lancaster, California. And I'm going to guess that's Kent. Kent, I've unmuted you. Are you there?
Yeah, Eric, I'm here. I was just kind of the same as the last guy, just checking with you to make sure it worked.
Cool. Everything that I say answer your questions and make sense tonight?
Yeah, very much so, as usual.
Great. Cool, man.
So great. Yeah, I'm just trying to build a kind of little thing around a blog to start with, but I think I can see where I'm going to have to have to get a little website up, so I appreciate
it. It's a great idea to have both. Most marketers that I know that are doing really, really well have both. Okay.
All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming on the call. Rose in Toronto. Hi, Rose.
No, it's Fraser. Fraser Rose.
Oh, Fraser Rose. Hey, Fraser, how are you?
Great, thank you. And I was doing the same. I was just testing the service. May I ask what service you're using?
Yeah, I'm using a service called NConnects. N like Nancy Connects. CONNECTS.
Okay.
And it seems pretty cool. It's a little different from what I was using in the past, and so I'm kind of flying blind here. But I tell you what, Fraser, I appreciate you coming on the call, and I sure enjoyed our chat the other day.
And I did too.
Cool. Well, I'm going to go ahead to the next question. Thanks again for calling in. Do you have a question, or were you just saying hello?
I was just saying hello.
Great. All right. Well, we'll speak soon, my friend. Thanks again.
Okay.
Lois Reed in Norfolk, Virginia. Lois, hello.
Hi there. Appreciate
it. Hi. How are you?
Good. I appreciate your question about checking keywords in books.
Oh, cool. Yeah. You know what's funny is that, you know, my mother has lived with us for the past year. And so I'm very close to emotionally to the situation, and you know, I've been in the bookstore looking for books and online searching for things about just this. So I think it's a great niche market, and I think that you can really help a lot of people.
I take care of both of my elderly parents, and I'm a life coach and looking to coach people in this area and give them information.
I think you'll do wonderful. And, you know, one thing that I think would really help a lot of people that are put into the position of being a caregiver for their parents is having some sort of mastermind or group call that they could attend weekly where they could just vent, almost like Alcoholics Anonymous, only for people who are who need to kind of unload about what they're going through with their parents.
I agree with you because many people can't get out to the regular support groups because they're tied down at home, or they don't want to kind of publicly say that in an in-person event.
Yep. So I think you'll do great, and I really appreciate you coming on the call.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Let me see here how I would go about taking the next one here. Anyone else, guys, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to press star 2 on the phone to raise your hand. There's a bunch of questions here through the webcast interface. Jay in LA says, will a recording of this be made available later? Jay, absolutely it will. Ed in Muskoy says, you know now you're on the bad boys list of the master. Jay says, I'm a member of your Faster Webmaster program. Where can I find the site, the materials, the videos, et cetera? Jay, what you can do is you can go to thefasterwebmaster.com, thefasterwebmaster.com. And you should see there a little link that says, don't panic. If you if you own this product, click here to access your training, and that will take you to your login. Okay? And if you don't have your username and password anymore, then what I would ask you to do is submit a support ticket to ask-eric.com. ask-eric.com. So, again, that first link, go to thefasterwebmaster.com and look for a login link. And if you don't know your username or password, you can submit a support ticket to me at ask-eric.com. Okay, another question here. Eric, you said something very interesting. Stay away from the big-ticket items, and I agree. Are you recommending starting off with affiliate products in the beginning and newbie stages, and can you expand a little more on the blog versus a static site in the beginning? Jay, absolutely. Okay, so you're totally right. I am recommending that you start with some affiliate marketing and with some list building. Okay, and there's a couple reasons. Very affordable and very easy to do those things. All right, and that's why I want you to start there. And in terms of the differences between the two sites, Google loves blogs. Google loves blogs and will index blog pages. But blog pages don't tend to convert as well as squeeze pages in terms of building a list, which is why I recommend you have a squeeze page as well. And here's another reason. All right, squeeze pages flat out work. All right, and when I first got into this industry, I hated squeeze pages. I thought they were the ugliest things I'd ever seen in my life, because I was used to going to websites that had navigations, websites that had, you know, options, links, right? But if you build a carefully crafted squeeze page that speaks to your audience, all right, it's not unreasonable to think that you can get 30, 40, 50, even 60% conversions on it. Meaning for every 100 people that you send to that page, 30 of them are going to join your list. And if you extrapolate that math out, you realize it doesn't take all that much traffic to build a big old honking list. All right. The blog is really useful in terms of getting active and getting a bunch of different backlinks and getting a little blog following and getting some pages noticed by Google. So then what I would do in that blog is I would link frequently to your squeeze page, and I would also have an opt-in form on the right-hand side of that blog. Okay. Cher in Fairfield, California says, will this work for obtaining buyers, sellers, and investors for real estate? I'm a new investor and a longtime realtor. Cher absolutely 100% would work great for that, would work great for that, okay? So here's what you do. Cher, depending on the area you specialize in, okay, maybe it's commercial, maybe it's residential, or depending on where you live, or depending on who you most work with, maybe you most work with buyers that are out of state, or maybe you most work with elderly buyers that are looking for investment properties, or maybe you most work with first-time homeowners. You need to, like, niche yourself down and become very clear about who you're going to go after. All right, maybe you're going after Santa Barbara residential real estate. Okay? So what you could do is you could build a squeeze page and you could put together Cher's top 10 tips for buying real estate in Santa Barbara, California. And you could talk about which neighborhoods are better than others. You could talk about which schools are better than others. You could talk about different ways that people could lower their property taxes, whatever it may be. And if you were to give away that report for free, and if you could get people that are looking to buy real estate in Santa Barbara to that page, they're going to opt in and subscribe to your newsletter in order to get that free report. All right? And once they do, it's a whole new ball game, because then you can follow up with them You can tell them some humorous stories. You can share some videos with them. You can share some of your personality with them. You can share some additional tricks and tips with them. And you're going to wind up building a relationship with them that can very easily turn into a customer relationship. All right? And you're going to have a leg up on your competition. You know, all the other realtors in your area that just kind of have a website up there that's got a picture of them smiling and maybe talks about how wonderful the area is. You know, those people, when people go and visit their website, they're there for a very limited amount of time, and then they're gone. And those realtors have no idea who those visitors were or why they came. They have no way to follow up with them, whereas you're going to have a massive leg up because you're going to have a way to actually follow up on a consistent basis with people until they choose to unsubscribe. And it's just an absolutely great way to build a real estate business. And Cher, I'm going to give you another trick. Here's my other trick. Offer people a free 30-minute like consultation or strategy session or like a free your first house consultation. And give away your time and make it valuable. People love things that are valuable. If people come to that page and see that you're willing to give them for free a 30-minute strategy session about buying their first home or a 30-minute discovery call with you for free, and it's valued at $97, they're going to give you their email address and phone number, and they're going to sign up for one, even if they don't want one, because people love free stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing that I would think about doing. Okay? Cool. Thomas in Stevens Point, Wisconsin says, I often feel like the little guy on the Faster Webmaster homepage banging my head on the desk. Thomas, I thought you might like that. I thought you guys would really like that image. That image speaks volumes for me. And so I appreciate you saying that. I picked it for a reason. I'm just going to switch back to NConnect here and see if there's any hand raisers. Guys, anyone have any questions, just please raise your hand. You're going to want to go ahead and use star 2 to do so, star 2 to raise your hand. Curtis in Alabama says, do I recommend joining ClickBank to obtain the products that you want to promote or using another independent method of some type? Curtis, that's an awesome question. I do like ClickBank. ClickBank is super easy. Guys, you can go and get a ClickBank account for free. It's C-L-I-C-K, clickbank.com. You can go and sign up totally free, and you can do a little search of the ClickBank marketplace, and you can find hundreds and hundreds of awesome products that you can promote right now. You could get an affiliate link to one of those products. You could print out 50 business cards and start handing them out tomorrow, right, with those links on it. And if people buy those products, you get a commission. All right, so I do like ClickBank. There's a couple other sites that I really like. I like LinkShare, L-I-N-K, LinkShare.com, and I also like Commission Junction. Commission Junction tends to have affiliate programs for physical products. ClickBank is mostly digital. I think it might be all digital, like ebooks and audio recordings and things like that. Commission Junction, which is CommissionJunction.com, is actually physical products. Things like DVD players and movies and car tires and things like that, okay? So check those out, all right? Just checking here for hand raisers and callers. No one has got any hands raised, and so I'm going to quickly go back to the webcast interface window, see if anyone else has any questions. Guys, it's looking like that's about it for the questions. Let me see here. JNLA says, I've been wondering, as I watch from the sidelines these $2,000 product launches where they claim million-dollar, gazillion-dollar launches, and I've got to believe that 1% or even less ever do anything with those deals. And my question is, why is it that the powers that be haven't started shutting down these sites? Isn't anybody watching this? Jay, that's an awesome question. And you know what? It fits in perfectly with what we're talking about tonight, and so I'm going to answer it for you before we wrap up the newbie pitfalls call, okay? Here's really what the bottom line is, right? The first thing is that wherever there is an enormous amount of money to be made, you're always going to find shysters and hucksters and snake oil salesmen. All right. When the gold rush happened in California, it was the same thing. There was a lot of, you know, cheats and thieves and scam artists that went west and preyed upon honest people and took their money. And you're going to find the same thing on the internet. All right. So how do you avoid those people? Well, there's a couple of different ways. One of the ways is don't buy anything. Don't buy anything from a website that doesn't have contact information on it. Go ahead before you buy anything and send those folks an email or give them a phone call. See if they answer the phone. See if they respond to your email. Look them up and make sure that they're real people with a real office and that they provide real customer support. And that's going to eliminate 50% of the bad guys on the fly-by-night operations. All right. The next thing you can do is take the name of that business or product and type it into the search engines and do a Google search on it and see what people are saying. All right. And you know, the third thing I would tell you is that, you know, there's a certain buyer responsibility that needs to happen whenever anyone buys things. And I'll give you a great example. I've got a garage full of stuff that I bought because at the moment it seemed like a hell of an idea, and I've never used it. All right, and it's not the seller. It's not the seller's responsibility to make sure that I use those things. If I used them, they would probably do everything that it says it does on the box, right? But it's not their responsibility to make sure that I take action. And I found that most people just don't take action. And so if there's a $2,000 product out there that claims to be able to make money fall out of the sky, I'd certainly be skeptical. But if there's a $2,000 product out there that contains information that can truly double or triple your business as long as you implement it, then I would think that it's worth its money. And there's packages out there that I've bought that are really, really expensive that have absolutely been worth every penny. So, you know, part of it is making sure that you're avoiding the fly-by-night operations, and part of it is making sure that you're only buying stuff that you really, truly need. And then a third part of it is making sure that the stuff that you do buy, you take action on and really give it a serious go, really give it a real hard effort to make it happen. So hopefully that that helps, and hopefully that answers your question a little bit. All right. So with that said, guys, I think I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the call. There aren't any more questions. I appreciate you joining me tonight for my Newbie Pitfalls teleseminar. Discussed several things tonight that you can do to avoid the common traps that beginners tend to fall into when they're getting started with their first e-business. My name is Eric Stafford, and I really appreciate you being a part of my life. I'd like to welcome you to join me tomorrow night for the second call in this series. It is going to be an awesome call. I very rarely talk about this subject, but I get asked about it all the time. Tomorrow night's call at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Oh, wait, actually, that's not right. It's Wednesday night. What am I thinking? Tomorrow night's Tuesday night. Wednesday night's call, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, is the offline foundation to your online business, the offline foundation to your online business. So I hope you'll join me Wednesday. I'm going to be talking about how to set up bank accounts and EIN numbers and S-Corps and LLCs, how to forward 800 numbers, the cheap, quick, easy way to build the offline foundation to a solid e-business. So that call is on Wednesday night, and then Thursday, talking about the math of marketing, how to split test, how to track, how to test and improve your results, and how to do it very easily. So, guys, with that, I'm going to wrap up the call tonight. I really appreciate you coming on the call, and I hope that I will see all of you on Wednesday. Thanks so much, everyone. Good night.